Now, Rehoboam's fall, we found out a while ago, was, well, look at, we read Judges, didn't we, a while ago? Judges 2:13, I won't turn to it again. But in Judges 2:13, we find that Rehoboam's fall, or the Israelites' fall, in this particular case, was because they worshipped the god of Baal and Ashtoreth, or Ashtaroth. Now, this was the same god worshipped many times under different names, and I'll show you a little bit about that tonight. Now, let's look into Rehoboam's fall. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to go way back many, many years behind Rehoboam's fall, and then take it up to the time when both Solomon and Rehoboam fell, showing you that they fell because they went after the worship of the gods, Baal and Ashtaroth. All right, look, if you would, to start with tonight, to the book of Revelation, chapter 17, a very familiar passage to us, but one that will lay the foundation for our study for tonight. Revelation, chapter 17, and starting with verse 1, page 1346 in your Scofield Reference Bible. Revelation, chapter 17, starting with verse 1. And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. Now in the Bible, a woman is a type of a church. All right? You recall in Ephesians, I think it's chapter 5 and 6, it talks about the bride of Christ. All Christians form the bride of Christ. And then in Revelation chapter 21, it talks about the Lamb's wife. It says the New Jerusalem shall come down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. So all Christians form the body of Christ, which is called the bride. All right? Now it talks about a whore here in verse 17. And in verse 15 it says, And upon her forehead was the name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, and the abomination to the earth. Now this is a little bit of review as we start tonight. If a good woman symbolizes true religion, then what does a bad woman symbolize? Say it. False religion. All right? So a bad woman symbolizes bad religion. Now, it says here, Mystery Babylon the Great is the mother of harlots. Now, was this talking about a city or a system? No talking, please. It could not be talking about a city. Why? Because real Babylon had been destroyed many, many years and hundreds of years before and was inhabited only by wild animals at this time. When the time that John lived, real Babylon was only inhabited by wild animals. Turn to Isaiah 13. You'll find that. Isaiah chapter 13. And we'll start, I think, with verse 19 of Isaiah 13. Page 725 in your Scofield Bible. And Babylon, Isaiah 13:19, and Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldees' excellency, shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. It shall never be inhabited, neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation. Neither shall the Arabian pitch tent there. Neither shall the shepherds make their fold there. But wild beasts of the desert shall lie there, and their houses shall be full of doleful creatures, and owls shall dwell there. Now, well, it goes on, verse 22 says, the wild beasts of the islands, and so forth. All right, now, the thing I want you to notice is this. This Babylon in Revelation 17 could not have been talking, John could not have been talking about the real city Babylon. Why? Because by John's time, it had been destroyed and wild beasts were there. Now, if it was not talking about the city, it must have been talking about the religion, and that's what it's talking about. Anytime you find Mystery Babylon, or back in the Tower of Babel, we'll go over that after a while, you find it represents the false religion. That's what Babel, this wicked woman, is. Now, it's beginning. A little bit about it, please. Turn back to Genesis chapter 10 and verse 8. And let's look for a minute at the beginning of this false religion. Now, if you'll keep with me, you'll learn some things tonight. And if you don't, you're going to waste your time. as far as the Bible study is concerned. Genesis chapter 10, and in a minute I'm going to read verse 8, but not yet. Page 18 in your Schofield Reference Bible. Now, a little history. The Tigris and Euphrates River in the early days had become very fertile land. The earth had become so rich around the Tigris and Euphrates River until it was conducive for growing great crops. Because of that, the people in the early days, I'm talking about now after the rise of the flood, the people wanted this land for the raising of their crops. However, there's one great problem, and that problem was wild animals lurked all throughout this area. I mean, wild, raging beasts absolutely overran the land of the Tigris and Euphrates River. However, there was a man who was raised up whose name was Nimrod, and you'll find him in verse 8 of Genesis chapter 10, and Cush, by the way now, Cush was the descendant of Ham. Cush was a son of Canaan, who was a son of Ham. So Nimrod was of the brown or black race, which doesn't matter, of course. And Cush begat Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Now, the word mighty there is worth noticing. The word mighty means, it's the Hebrew word G-I-B-O-R, which means tyrant, a ruthless man, a mighty, ruthless kind of a tyrant. So Nimrod was a good man or a bad man, you tell me. Good or bad? Bad man. He was a mighty man. He was a ruthless tyrant. But he was, it says in verse 9, a mighty hunter before the Lord. A mighty hunter. Girls, no talking now. A mighty hunter, the one looking around. A mighty hunter before the Lord. Now, was there a hunter needed in Babylon at this time, or in this area, the Tigris-Euphrates area? Oh, yes, because the area had been so overrun with wild beasts and animals until when Nimrod came along, was a mighty hunter, he was certainly a deliverer for the people. So Nimrod helped in chasing out the wild beast, and because of that, he became a great leader of the people and became a ruthless tyrant. However, he got a better idea. Instead of hunting and chasing these animals out, he got the idea of getting the people together and forming cities and building walls around these cities. Walls around cities were not first built to protect from warfare. Walls around cities were first built to protect from wild animals. So Nimrod got a bunch of folks together, and he built walls around the city, and in fact, he started cities all over the Tigris and Euphrates area. And because of that, now he has a kingdom. Cities all over the area of the Tigris and Euphrates, and now he has a kingdom, and of course he's the king. Now this is the first kingdom you have in the Bible. In Genesis chapter 4, you find the first civilization. But in Genesis chapter 10, you find the first kingdom. Now let's review a little bit. what rivers were especially fertile, or the areas especially fertile? The Tigris and Euphrates. But there was one great problem about raising crops around here, and that was because of wild beasts and animals. Right. But God raised up a mighty hunter. What was God? No, God didn't raise him up. He was raised up. God allowed him to be raised up. What was his name? Nimrod. The word mighty there means he was more than just mighty. He was a ruthless what? Tyrant. Now also, you'll notice it says in verse 9, the mighty hunter before the Lord. That word before means against. It means before, like something is pushing before something. Something is pushing on something. It means pressure being exerted. He was against the Lord. Now, Nimrod first was a mighty hunter, and he was a hunter for these animals and wild beasts, but he found a better idea. He found the idea of building what? Talk to me. Cities. And what around the cities? Walls. And so walls around cities were first built to protect the people from what? Animals or wild beasts. Okay, the word Nimrod, by the way, means let us rebel. Let us rebel. Nimrod was against the Lord, a mighty tyrant, and he built the first kingdom composed of walled cities. By the way, Nimrod did something else. Nimrod mixed the politics of the kingdom with religion, and he became somewhat of a high priest. And he led in the first worship of the devil. Now, Nimrod instigated something that is becoming very popular now. By the way, Nimrod was a type of the Antichrist, the man of sin that's going to come in the end time. So if Nimrod is the type of that man of sin, then don't you think as we see the instigation and the promoting of devil worship that we're getting closer to the end time? Of course we are. So Nimrod began the devil worship, but something happened, Nimrod. He was a married man. And then something happened. Nimrod died. Now, up until the death of Nimrod, let's review. The geographical area is around two rivers. What rivers? The Tigris and Euphrates. And was there a good land or bad land? Good land. But there was one great problem. What was there around the Tigris, Euphrates? Wild animals. But a man was raised up. Got it right that time. A man was raised up who was a great hunter. What was his name? Nimrod. Nimrod means what? Let us rebel. Say it again. Let us rebel. So, and Nimrod was a mighty man before the Lord. The word mighty means what? A ruthless tyrant. And before the Lord means he was what? Against the Lord. So here we have this mighty man. By the way, he decided to build these cities and walls around the cities. And then he became also a high what? Priest, and led in the first what kind of worship? Devil worship. Nimrod was married, and later on he died. Now, his wife continued this religion. She had, after Nimrod died, a son. But the son was not by Nimrod. It was an illegitimate son. And she claimed that this son was the Messiah. Now, bear in mind this. All the people in those days who enlightened it all knew that someday a seed of a woman was going to come, and he'd be the Messiah. So folks were looking for that Messiah. Don't you recall when God told Eve that she's going to have a son? The first boy was Cain, and Eve said, "I've gotten a man from the Lord." What she really said in the original was, "I've gotten the Lord man. I've gotten the God man." Eve thought that Cain was going to be the Messiah. So the people knew it. So what happened was this. The wife of Nimrod had this illegitimate baby after he died. And to get herself out of trouble, she claimed that this was the virgin-born Messiah. Very convenient, wasn't it? And she also said that it was virgin-born, and that he was the Messiah. But more than that, she also claimed that he was Nimrod reborn. So now you have Nimrod, the founder of religion. You have a woman, and you have her son, illegitimate son, who is supposed to be, so she said, Nimrod reborn. Now, they worshipped the mother and the son. Nimrod, by the way, in case you wonder, was called the sun god. And she taught that Nimrod went up in the heavens and became the sun god. Nimrod was the first Baal. What the Jews worshipped in Baal is exactly what this wife of Nimrod pictured Nimrod as being after he died. Since Nimrod was the sun god, fire became a symbol of God. And that's where your candles in your churches originated. That's why churches have worship centers. They have candles there on the table. Why? Because fire is a symbol of Nimrod, or the sun god. And this matter of fire, or burning something representing God's presence, went all the way back to Nimrod, or at least to his wife, after Nimrod had died. Now, look at chapter 11 of Genesis and verse 9. Chapter 11, verse 9. Therefore is the name of it called Babel. You recall that Nimrod led in building that Tower of Babel, because the Lord there did confound the language of all the earth. And from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. Now, the people had gotten together in Babel, and they had this false religion. Who was the founder of it? What was his name? Nimrod. But Nimrod did what? Died. And his wife had a son. Was he legitimate or not? No, he was not. And she said that he was Nimrod reborn. She claimed that he was born of what kind of birth? A virgin birth, and that he was the Messiah promised in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. Now we find, after the Tower of Babel, that these people from Babel, or from the Babylonian kingdom, were spread over the face of all the earth. What it says in verse 9 of chapter 11, it says, therefore the name called Babel, and the latter part says, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. Now you've got thousands and tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of missionaries. And these missionaries, taking this false religion, go to every part of the world. All right, now we have a religion started by Nimrod, propagated by his wife, and the illegitimate son, projected as a promised Messiah, and Nimrod reborn in the Son as one of his teachings. This religion was spread over the face of all the earth. Now, historians tell us that they built images of Nimrod's wife and her son, a Madonna-like image of Nimrod's wife and the son. They worshiped Nimrod's wife and the son, because the son was supposed to be Nimrod reincarnate. Do you get the picture? Father, son, and mother. And since the son was the father incarnate, and he was God, that makes the wife the mother of God. She was actually called the Queen of Heaven. She was actually called the Mother of God. There were actually Madonna-like likenesses made of her, and the people worshipped her, and it was spread over all of the world. One of the most famous of all historians said, the source of all systems of idolatry is Babylon. Bunsen said, the great historian, Egyptian religion sprang from Babylon. Layard said, all idolatry originates in Babylon. Which means the entire system of worldwide idolatry started in Babylon. Now, how did it spread around the world? Because after the Tower of Babel, the people were scattered across, and now all over the world you have religion. Now, bear in mind this. It may not be called the same, but you have religion in Genesis 11:9, scattered over the entire face of the world, earth, which has a woman who's the Queen of Heaven, a woman who's the Mother of God, a boy, the son of that woman, and who is the reincarnate father or husband of that woman. You've got Nimrod, you've got his wife, you've got the boy. Now, this religion was spread over all the earth. Now, it was built basically on a mother-child worship. A mother-child worship. Did you know that religions all over the world, practically, if not every nation on the face of the earth that has a heathen, pagan religion, that religion is built on the mother-child worship concept? For example, in China, someone went to China, and the mother was called Xingmu in China. And in China, they worship this goddess, Xingmu, and she had a baby that she held in her arms, a Madonna-like likeness of her. In Germany, there was a goddess called Hertha, and they worshiped the goddess Hertha. And did you know they had likenesses of Hertha, and Hertha had a baby, and they worshiped, just as they worshiped Xingmu in China as the Queen of Heaven, they worshiped Hertha in Germany as the queen of heaven. And in Scandinavia, they had one they called Disa, or D-I-S-A, Disa, or Disa. And they worship, and by the way, Disa, this goddess, had a, they made images of her, and she had a little baby, a little son, in her arms. Don't you see? The concept of the mother-son worship started in Babylon, went to China in Xingmu, went to Scandinavia in Disa, went to Germany in Hertha. In India, there was a goddess they called Indrani, Indrani, I-N-D-R-A-N-I. Indrani was worshipped as the Queen of Heaven. She was worshipped as the Mother of God. And any time they made a likeness of her, she had a child, a man-child, in her arms. In Babylon, it was called Aphrodite. In the Greeks had a goddess that they worshipped that had a son called Ceres. In Rome, it was Venus or Fortuna. Some call Venus, some Fortuna. But they're goddesses, and these had likenesses of a child in their arms. Mother of Heaven, Mother of God, Queen of Heaven. In Asia, it was spelled C-Y-B-E-L-E, and a child, spelled D-E-O-I-U-S. In Ephesus, Diana. Now listen carefully. Diana, you recall in the 19th chapter of Acts, the Apostle Paul went to Ephesus, and he had trouble for his life. His life was endangered because that they had been worshiping the goddess Diana. And because Paul was there, a bunch of folks were getting saved. And these silversmiths weren't making as many likenesses of Diana. Did you know Diana was called the Queen of Heaven? Did you know Diana was called the Mother of God? Did you know Diana was supposed to have had a son that was virgin born? And in Egypt, it was Isis and Horus. Isis, the mother, who worshipped, and the child, Horus, worshipped. In Israel, they called it Baal and Ashtaroth. Now, I've given you 11 or 12 different countries that in ancient times worship a woman and a child, woman and a child. Now, wait a minute. It was never called Catholicism. Never. And it was never called Mary the Mother of God or Mary the Queen of Heaven. But it was a concept of worship that originated in Babylon. And when the Tower of Babel came and the nations were scattered across the entire world, they carried this concept of worship the mother and worship the son. And because of that, all over the world, when Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem of Judea, did you know when Jesus Christ came into the world, the entire Eastern world was permeated with this mother-son worship concept? Now, it wasn't always called the same thing. Call one thing in, name one thing in China, but the entire concept of religion, idolatry, was having a mother of God, a queen of heaven, and so forth. Now then, it was into this paganism that our Lord came. Hence, Mary, it was very easy for the people to adopt Mary as the Queen of Heaven and the Mother of God. Did you know the entire concept of praying to Mary or praying through Mary came from Babel and Nimrod? And it's false religion from the ground up, heathen paganism. The same paganism that started in Babylon spread to Rome, and then our Lord came. And our Lord came with a new doctrine. He came with a doctrine. Oh, by the way, I think I'll say this also. They had what they call groves. In each of these religions, they had groves. They had built around a little clump of trees. They had built an altar. And they would come to this place called a grove. And there they would worship these folk. In China, they'd worship Xingmu. And they'd worship Hertha in Germany. And on and on. And they'd have groves. Now, these groves, what you recall in the Old Testament, when the king went bad, it says he built groves and high places. That means he was going to this religion. Anytime you found a grove, it was for the worship of a mother and son. A mother and son, the concept. Well, Jesus came. He came to the doctrine that said salvation's in Jesus Christ and Him alone. Mary, His mother, said she needed a Savior. And God, after God, had the lowest state of His handmaid.
And now we have a new gospel, a gospel not by idolatry, but by worship, and not by works, but by faith in Jesus Christ. But these converts all over the world had a tough time accepting that. And even though they accepted Jesus, they had to give up. The folks in China hated to give up Xing Mu. It'd be easy for me to give up Xing Mu. That sounds like something at a restaurant. But they had to give up Xing Mu. And the German convert, they wanted to take Jesus, but they hated to give up Hertha. And the Egyptian converts, they wanted to give up, that they wanted to take Jesus, but they wanted to give up their mother God. By the way, that's why Paul so often spoke about doctrines of devils, because these were the doctrines of devils. Then, in the time of Constantine, about the 4th century, something happened. They began to deify Mary. In the Encyclopedia Britannica, it'll tell you that Mary was not deified until the 4th century. The Catholic Church says they go all the way back to Peter. But even secular historians say that the worship of Mary and the praying to Mary and the praying through Mary did not come to the 4th century. Now, what is it? Tell you what it is. Wherever missionaries went, they faced the same thing. Different name, but the same thing. The enemies were always the same. Called the Queen of Heaven. Turn to Jeremiah 44. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 44. And verse 17. Now, I want you to know this was before Mary was born. Hundreds of years before Mary was born. And here's, look at verse 15 rather, Jeremiah 44:15. Then all the men which knew that their wives had burned incense unto other gods, and all the women that stood by, a great multitude, even all the people that dwelt in the land of Egypt, in Patros, answered Jeremiah, saying, as for the word that thou hast spoken unto us in the name of the Lord, we will not hearken unto thee. But we will certainly do whatsoever thing goeth forth out of our own mouth to burn incense unto the Queen of Heaven. Queen of Heaven? That's 600 years before Mary was born. That's almost 1,000 years before Mary was ever called the Queen of Heaven. That means that idolatry in Jeremiah's day in Egypt was associated with burning incense to the Queen of Heaven. Now you listen to me. I'm telling you this. I'm saying that the same... Now wake up and listen to this statement. The same religion that ruined Rehoboam is right across the street over here. Same one. Ruined him. Right across the street. It's under a new name. It's not called Xing Mu anymore, like it was in China. It's not called Hertha, like it was in Germany. Just got this name, the old gal, different name. That's all. So, listen, there's only been one false religion in the history of the world. And that false religion was started by Nimrod at the Tower of Babel, and perpetuated by his wife and her so-called, quote, virgin-born son, end quote. A worship of a man-made system with a woman as its mother God, mother of God, Queen of Heaven. Jeremiah, in Jeremiah's day, the thing he preached against, they didn't call it Roman Catholicism, but it's the same thing. It was the worship of the mother-son concept. Now then, in Israel, it was called the worship of Baal. But now follow me. Baal and Ashtoreth. Ashtoreth was the woman. Baal was the sun god. That was your Nimrod. Same thing. You got Baal instead of Nimrod. Let me ask you a question. If it was Xing Mu in China, Ashtoreth in Israel, Hertha in Germany, But it all was worshiping a queen of heaven. No matter what you call her, is it the same religion or not? Did you know that the paganism of Egypt and the religion of Egypt, and did you know that along, also that the mythology of Greece and the heathen religions, Hinduism and the religions of the East, all had their origin at the same place and are all first cousins to Roman Catholicism. All started in Babylon. All worshiped the woman. Now this was Rehoboam. Turn to 1 Kings 11 and verse 1. 1 Kings 11 and verse 1. Talking about Solomon now. 1 Kings 11, 1. But Solomon, King Solomon, loved many strange women. Together, by the way, page 402, I'll wait for you. Page 402. But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughters of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites. We discussed that last week. Now look down to verse 3. He had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. It came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth. There it is. What was a false religion that turned Solomon away from God? The worship of the mother-son. The worship of the mother-son. Say it. The worship of the mother-son. What religion did Nimrod start? The worship of the mother-son. What religion did turn Solomon's heart away? The worship of the mother-son. It's exactly the same thing. Now turn to 1 Kings chapter 14, just a few pages over. Chapter 14 and verse 21. And Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, reigned in Judah. Rehoboam was 41 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord did choose out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. And his mother's name was Naamah, we studied this last week, an Ammonitess. And Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they provoked him to jealousy with their sins that they kept committed above all that their fathers had done. For they also built themselves high places and images and groves on every hill, high hill, and under every green tree. Now listen carefully. Here's what Rehoboam did. Rehoboam, under every green tree in Israel, on every high hill in Israel, he put an image. Would you like to know what that image looked like? That image was an image of a woman and a male son. And that woman's name was Ashtoreth. And the god up in heaven was a sun god whose name was Baal. And the sun was supposed to have been the son of this woman and this god. Are you listening? Nimrod had the same religion. The Egyptian idolatry was the same religion. The religion of India was the same religion. The Solomon's religion was the same religion. Let's suppose that we take Dr. Hilton here, and I say, boy, I like that fella, old Dr. Jones. He's a great guy. And Brother Fisk says, I like that fella right there. Dr. Smith is a great guy. And Brother Sullivan says, I like a fella right there. Dr. Peabody is a wonderful fella. And Dr. Billings says, I like a fella right there. Dr. Johnson is a wonderful fella. Now, who do you worship? Now, what's his name? What's yours? Peabody. What's yours? Johnson. What's mine? Jones. I worship Jones, Smith, Johnson, or Peabody, Johnson. Well, we have four different gods, don't we? No, we just call the same fella a different name. Listen, some of you folks, you came out of this Roman Catholicism mess. And get mad if you want to. But, brother, somebody better warn you that you're messing around Nimrod. And Nimrod was against the Lord. A mighty tyrant! There is not a tyrant in this world that has the power of the Pope. None whatsoever. None. Now, so, now that's what, somebody, Brother House, why don't you have a worship center? I went to a Baptist church not long ago and had candles burning down to the altar. And I was preaching. And the first thing I did was blow them out. Blow them out. And somebody said, oh, you're making a big issue over nothing. No, I'm not either. No, I'm not either. Now, what's happened? Some preacher went off to a college and wanted to be scholarly. And so he heard about worship centers and worship services. So he came back and said, that's mighty pretty. We'll have a couple of candles. No, I'm sorry. That candle, worship of light or fire, is sun worship. And it started with Nimrod, who was the first sun god. And it's been handed down. That's one reason why we have no vestige whatsoever of ritual in First Baptist Church, Hammond. None whatsoever. None! Why? That's why I wouldn't wear a robe. I was invited to speak at a fundamental convention. Fundamental convention. Great crowd of people. But I had to wear a robe. And I turned it down. Many great preachers in America wore the robe, not me. Now, if you'll be quite frank with you, I don't mean to be critical of any of our brethren, but that's one reason why that I don't like robes on the choir. You say, well, Brother House, it's not wrong to have them. Well, it's not wrong not to have them either. See, that's for dead sure. Now, I'm saying that I do not want us to ever have anything here that is resembles the mother of harlots. Why? Because the mother of harlots started with Nimrod and the worship of the mother-son team and spread over all the earth. That's why in the end time it'll be no big problem for false religions to get together. Because they came from the same place. But I don't mean they just spread word of mouth. I mean they actually became missionaries. When God confounded their languages and they were scattered over the entire world. Some folks went to China, and some folks went to Japan, and some folks went to England, and some folks went to Germany, and some folks went to France, and they carried... Look, let's suppose that all of us, well, not many of us compared to this crowd, but you scatter this crowd right here across the world, and you're going to have a lot of fundamental churches growing up around the country and around the world. But you take all the cities, these magnificent cities, and by the way, Babylon at its zenith was probably more civilized than Chicago. I hope it was. The civilization of Babylon was magnificent. And from this kingdom of Babylon, they were scattered everywhere. The system has been the same. Only the names have changed. Now, you can call a snake a reptile, but he's still a snake. And you can call a snake a pretty little toy, but he's still a snake. And you can name a snake a gorgeous Gus, but he's still a snake. And you can name a female snake, and I'm not going to check and see which is a male and a female, I guarantee you. I'm going to take off. But you can call her sweet, soothing, slithery Sylvia if you want to. But it's still a snake. Now, you go to China and say, oh, they have one religion. No, they don't. No, they don't. And you go to Rome and say, here's a great worldwide religion headquarters in Rome. No, it's just the same old thing that Nimrod started in Babel. Now, that's one reason why First Baptist Church in Hammond is an independent Baptist church. And that's why I don't go to the Ministerial Association. And that's why I didn't cooperate in the citywide revival here, though a gospel preacher preached it, because a Catholic was in charge of the visitation committee. So you hate Catholics. I love Catholics very, very much. I'd like to see them all get saved and go to heaven when they die. But I hate the system. Why? Because God hates it. So don't get mad at me, get mad at God. He's the one who's going to curse the system in Revelation chapter 17 and 18. Now, what I'm doing is this. I'm going to be saying again and again in our study, a certain king built groves. Now, and you see that in the Bible. I want you to remember that. Remember this. That was a worship place on a high hill or under a tree where they had a woman and a son image. And you're going to find that certain king went after Baal and worshiped Baal. I want you to remember, that's another name for Nimrod. It's sun worship. It's fire worship. Did you know that's one reason, and I think it's so funny and yet so wonderful. That's one reason why Elijah suggested on Mount Carmel they pray for fire. Why? With whom was he competing? The prophets of whom? Baal. And so Elijah, okay, said, if you think your God can answer by fire, what they're saying is, let's see some of your fire. And Elijah said, let's see who has the real fire. So Elijah was speaking in their own language and asking God to show that he was the real God by sending fire. Over and over again, we're going to find in our study of the kings, a certain king built groves, a certain king built high places, a certain king worshipped Ashtaroth and or Baal. And whenever we do that, I want you to remember now. Have you see it in the Bible? I want you to remember. Started with Nimrod. Let's review. It started around two rivers. What rivers? Tigris and Euphrates. And the Tigris and Euphrates provided water for the land to become very what? Fertile. And so they had good crops there, or could have had, but something bothered them. The land was absolutely covered with what? Wild animals or wild beasts. But a mighty hunter who could hunt out these wild beasts and clear the land rose. What was his name? Nimrod. And Nimrod, married or single? Married. And Nimrod was a mighty man. The word mighty means what? He was a ruthless tyrant. And he was a mighty hunter before the Lord. The word before means he was what? Against the Lord. And Nimrod he became the ruler of all of these people. But later on, Nimrod decided to build some what? Cities. And around those cities were walls. So walls around cities were first built to protect the inhabitants from what? Wild animals. So Nimrod did what? Died. And his wife had a son. And the son was what kind of a son? A legitimate son. But she claimed he was the promised Messiah. And that he was of what kind of birth? A virgin birth. And now, where did Nimrod go? He went up in the sky, and he became what kind of god? Sun god. And all that. So, let's see. All that. They tried to build the Tower of Babel, and after Nimrod died, the people that had this religion were scattered where? All over the entire world. And this religion was... Now, was it called Baal? Nimrod worship all over the world? No, it was called a different thing all over the world. But it was a worldwide religion. And different countries had different names. Until when Jesus came, he came with a new concept of religion. And remember who it was that first introduced Mary worship, or under whose kingdom? Constantine in the 4th century. And from that day till this, Christianity Now, Christianity did not have any mother-son worship till then. But the mother-son worship that has been applied to every false religion now is applied to Christianity. Erroneously so. And it's called Roman Catholicism. And that's why in the end time, Roman Catholicism and Hinduism and Shintoism and all the rest of the false religions can bundle up so easily. All they got to do, they worship the same gal and the same image. All they got to do is just get the same name for her. And then you've got Babel, and God will destroy.